This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 18th of March, 1954. The title of this lecture is Duplication and Orders. This lecture is 60 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
Okay, and this is the afternoon lecture of the 18th of March, 1954. Some of the processes which are used in remedying the ability to follow orders. Remedying the necessity to follow orders, one should say, and remedying the inability to follow orders. This is systems used for handling communication in the messed universe, remedying difficulties of handling in the messed universe. There isn't anybody alive on Earth who is duplicating perfectly, because that's impossible. It's an impossibility to duplicate perfectly in the messed universe. But if one is willing to duplicate perfectly, one can communicate perfectly. To duplicate perfectly, that's impossible. An obsession to duplicate perfectly will wind up a preclear in an awful lot of trouble. But he has to be perfectly willing to duplicate perfectly. And if he's willing to duplicate perfectly, then he will be able to go about his business and perceive properly and so on. One of the mechanisms used is to throw out a whole flock of energy, a big mass of energy, throw it out against a wall, and then bring it back in and look at it after it is reversed. Or just throw a flock of energy out and bring it back in and look at the other side of it. Only trouble is the other side of it's black. Another method of doing this is you have a mirror. And you take this mirror and you look at the mirror rather than look at the universe. Now you say, well, where's Satan get a mirror? Look around you. Just look around you, particularly around your feet, to the right and left of the body, front and back of the body. Find any mirrors? If you want to make a preclear very unhappy sometime, ask him to pick up one of these things and break it. He can, he will, but he'll be very unhappy about it. Because that's one of the mechanisms he's using so as to get things straightened out so that when he looks at them, he's straight. In other words, it's a perfect duplication. If he tries this as a perfect duplication, why, he can make it. If he uses a bunch of periscopes and gym cracks and reverses and so forth. Somebody suggested a little earlier that why didn't we take a reversing telescope? Wouldn't that blow the bang? No, it wouldn't blow the bank. But it would certainly confuse the Thetan to have everything reinversed when he has already inversed it once. Now, it's all right to reverse it once, but you only get into trouble when you try to reverse it twice. People keep telling you to look straight at things, to look at things. Please look at things. Always, always. You know, give it your attention. Give your attention to this directly. Don't get anything backwards. Let's go all straightforwardly, all out, and continue along the same line. And let's never get balled up or confused. Let's just look at it straight now. Now, let's look this problem straight in the eye. Let's not avoid the issue. This type of insistence going on all the time. It's an operation. You can't look the problem straight in the eye. If you're looking at anything and duplicating it, why, you're at least storing it backwards to you, if you conceive that you have a direction which you face. Thetan doesn't have any direction he faces, so he has far less problem than a body, which of course has a direction to face. But everybody telling this to a body, that it's got to look the problem straight in the eye and that sort of thing and so on, is look at people, give their attention to people, put your attention on something. a continual hammer, hammer, pound, pound, pound to put your attention on individuals will, of course, wind the body up backwards. A fellow will have the sensation, actually, that he has a face on the back of his head, or a face sunk into his head, or a face standing right in front of his face that he won't let sink in, or a face sunk into some part of the body, or a body sunk into his body. And perhaps you've never looked there, but a body on the other side of his body. It's gone on through. He's stopping the images 2 and 3 feet behind him, or 2 and 3 miles behind him. See, here's some of the activities there. Therefore, a body gets very badly snarled up. It's a wonder that a body hangs together at all. It's a great tribute to a body that it does stand up under a universe which insists on communicating and then covertly makes all communication reversed for a body. If you have a director on a playing field who is giving Swedish calisthenics to a large number of people, who knows his business, this individual will do the things in reverse to the people he's facing, completely in reverse, and they follow him quite ably. But if he doesn't know what he's doing, he will do the things right way too. And the amount of confusion and ball-up which occurs on the part of the people standing on that playing field is mirrored in the tremendous number of inaccuracies which show up on the playing field. He just doesn't put any strain on the line. In other words, he simply goes through motions and they duplicate these motions. You follow that. He just does what they're supposed to do with their right hand, he does with his left hand. All right, does this go into other forms of training so that we don't go through a whole flock of machinery to train somebody, for instance, to use a rifle? Well, I trained some men one time to use a pistol. I used to have a couple of brass pie plates on the subject of pistols. Best pistol shot at the county fairgrounds doll booth, you know, that sort of pistol award. Trying to train some officers who had been trained in using the pistol. They couldn't use a pistol. They thought the .45 was the most violently dangerous item in the world. And, of course, anybody handling a .45 and carrying it around all the time in battle quarters and that sort of thing, who thinks it's a dangerous weapon and doesn't know how to use it, it, of course, that time becomes a very dangerous weapon. And I didn't want to lose any seamen, so we could afford ensigns. I mean, they were expendable. It says right on them their card that comes around their necks when they report aboard, Title C, expendable. But seamen second class, they're not expendable. They're Title A. And so you don't want to use any lose any Title A just because of this Title C stuff. So anyway, I took occasion to try to train these fellows, and I was struck with the fact that their instructors had always faced them and tried to train them from in front of them. You can't train anybody manually facing in front of them. He'll duplicate it, then he'll have to reverse every piece of training he thereafter gets. He has to reverse it to use it, so you get slow motion. He either trains himself by figuring it out and doing it, or he's trained in the same direction he's facing, but he isn't trained well or ably or anything else by somebody facing him. A lot of police forces could utilize information of that character very easily. You don't stand up in front of a whole line of men facing them and show them how to load and fire and stand and so forth for the good reason they can't duplicate it. They've got to hold the pistol in their right hand. You're holding the pistol in your right hand. This is going to make impulses to be left-handed about the pistol, but you can't be left-handed about the pistol. Well, quite incidentally, back on the track, nearly everybody was left-handed. They handled all their sidearms left-handed and so on, back on the track. This life, everybody's right-handedness is an effort to avoid, being lethal and dangerous and able. Reverse. One of the practices that used to be pulled off when they'd really discredit somebody and throw him out, something like that, why, they'd paralyze his left arm. You get a little kid in school who starts in as a southpaw, imitating the teacher, and then suddenly come down on him with a crush and say, you're not supposed to write left-handedly. Huh. Yeah, the kid ready to blow his brains out. In the first place, you probably re-stimulated his incapacity with the left hand. You know, you've told him he mustn't use his left hand, which is mustn't use his weapons. All weapons were left-handed. You moved him over onto the right side, and now you've made him cross-duplicate the teacher. You just might as well have told him, do not duplicate the teacher. If she can write, you can't write. If she can read, you can't read. If she knows arithmetic, you can't know arithmetic, because you mustn't duplicate the teacher. So you've got to be reversed to the teacher. It's just as elementary as that. And then we wonder why this fellow becomes a bad student. Tremendous number of tomes, not books, but tomes. Tomes are something you bury information in, not get it out of. And tremendous numbers have been written concerning the perils attendant to changing the handedness of a child. If you find a southpaw kid and you make him a right-hander, very bad mental problems may result. This has been observed and observed and observed. Well, it must have been observed almost totally in print, or totally as a thinking fact. Because all he had to do was look up at the front of the room and see that the teacher was reversed to every child, as long as she was in the front of the room. See that? I can teach you with great ease from the front of the room, because what I'm telling you has no form. There isn't any form connected with Scientology. Pieces of paper. But a piece of paper can be reverse-ended, too. Don't give you very much written material. All right? Training these officers, I stood behind the officer and regulated his arm in motion in drawing, handling the safeties, and firing the pistol. So I'll be closing my hand over his. I trained those guys in an hour. Just about. They knew all the safeties, field strip the gun, so forth. It straightened out the direction reversal for them. It's as though their first instructor had said to them, look, you mustn't handle the pistol. And as though I'd suddenly said to them, this little bit of training, look, you have permission to handle a pistol. See, just the fact that I was training them from behind, faced in the same direction they were, was enough to grant them permission to use a pistol. They all became very reliable with pistols. Much to my relief, because we didn't have very many seamen second class. Lots of ensigns. You may think that's just a joke, but it's a fact that I probably had to turn down the transfer of... Well, I almost uniformly had to turn down the transfer of junior officers to a ship and uniformly have to beg to get a seamen second class transferred to it. It just shows you what's the comparable value. You have them sleeping all over the wardroom and everything else if you don't wait. You drive up in front of a commandant's building or something like that. The aide's liable to rush out and say to you, do you want 15 ensigns? You know, you say no. Well, it's very odd. Why was everybody so hard on these ensigns? They're being trained on materiel. Very harshly trained on materiel. On a sort of a hit-or-miss basis. They go to school for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, cram, 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 on a lot of instruments with their instructors all facing them. They never get a chance to handle those instruments. Now they're supposed to go aboard ship and command men handling those instruments and so forth. Seaman second class, different proposition entirely. When they taught him to fire a gun, they threw him on top of a pointer's ledge of a gun and made him fire a few rounds. So forth, so on. You get this. Let's just take it up as training. Well, now supposing a man has been trained with people facing him all the time into the handling, let us say, of a sextant. Well, you get the idea. Now look, you take this sextant, you hold your hand this way. Okay? You take its limb, and you let off its screw here, you see? And you put your eye to the eyepiece over here, you see? And you swing the limb down here until you get a coincidence of the mirrors. See? Then you take the vernier, and you set it on exactly, and you set it and read. Now, that's the way you handle a sextant. Now, let's see you boys handle a sextant. Immediately, you get a... Let's see. The only thing you can teach a man to handle easily is a pair of binoculars. Can't teach him to use a telescope. All right, now we take a bunch of men who have been trained in this example. And we start giving them orders. Of course, the person who's training was always a senior. He was the person who was giving continual orders. Right shoulder arms, left shoulder arms. To the rear hup, to the rear hup, to the rear hup. Standing in front of them normally. Showing them close order drill, that sort of thing. It was always in reverse to them. Never otherwise. And the orders go in the same way. And these men start fighting orders. And they fight the orders harder and harder. Eventually they get so they can't follow an order. They won't follow an order. Defend me from a 16-year man. He'll bust all the equipment laid in his hands. Everything else. He knows all the dodges. If you've ever had the experience of serving with a chief petty officer that was a chief petty officer with Admiral Dewey or something of this sort, you'll know what I mean. His idea is you have a big alibi and then go off and hit the bunk. You leave somebody else to do it. You don't take any of the responsibilities. You step sideways every way, which, and then give a big appearance to your officers that you're right on the ball, and then give a big appearance to the men that they have the inside to track with their officers, and if it weren't for them, why, the men would be butchered piecemeal. And it's routine. Square up. There's no reason why a military service has to run that poorly. All right. Answer. Solution. Is not very important, really, from the standpoint of training, unless you're in the field of training, and then it would become very important to you, believe me. If you wanted to stand in front of a group of men, this would be kind of silly, to stand in front of a group of men and teach them to the positions of a rifle, you would have to do order arms over on the left side of the body, right shoulder arms on the left side of the body, left shoulder arms on the right side of the body, port arms in reverse. See, and they'd get it. They'd be right on the ball. They'd be a well-drilled company if you could do that. If you did do that consistently. But that's still kind of silly because you're facing the wrong way. Now, if you're setting an example for men and you're standing in front of them all the time, and the example you're setting for them is to teach them how to charge the enemy. The whole thing gets silly, doesn't it? All right, that's communication in the messed universe. Find somebody who's been put under heavy training and duress like this. He normally makes a poor preclear. Because you've got direction reversals all over the place. Now, some of the systems used to overcome this, by the thing I've already mentioned, the mirror, using a facsimile, and not only that, but actually facing backwards. The Thetan quite ordinarily, you try to tell him to be 3 feet back of the head, and he starts to go what he considers should be out the back of the head, but actually it would be moving out of his face, and he winds up in front of his face. This is quite unnerving to him. He's been real wrong. Well, he was facing backwards in order to get communications straight. He let them go by him and then look at him. Well, that's a good way to do it. You let them go by and then look. Of course, if you're being a mass of energy and you let communications go by, someday or another you're standing there and a bullet or something goes through you and disturbs your energy pattern. Why, after that, you're saying, hey, you know, I should put the direction. I should receive the communication before it passes me. Therefore, I'll turn around and face the communicating source. Now you can't get a perfect duplicate. What's a Thetan doing being worried about things going through him anyhow? Well, in such a way, the messed universe is cursed, hammered, because it's backwards. The actual truth of the matter is, if you had anything connected with space and a couple of Thetans trying to communicate, facing each other, or in relationship to each other, why, they would normally get upset, unless they use some sort of a mechanism on it. They would get upset if they were obsessed with the idea of a perfect communication. Almost any kind of a universe consisting of space that you tailored up would consist then of a Thetan being upset about communicating with Thetans. Because it looked backwards to them. Your preclear, can your preclear follow your orders? Supposing you just took HC and put it all in reverse on the positive side of the ledger. Let's get you real bad off case. Let's try to run him on 8C on the positive side of the ledger. Give me three places where you are. Give me three people you are being. He would get the astonishing reaction of some little relief for a little while. And then he gets snarled up again because the words, the meaning of the words themselves, not having any form, can be received straightway too. So the meaning of the words would start snarling up with what was happening, and his direction reversal would get him even further confused. Let's take the history of a process which was negative exteriorization. Try not to be 3 feet back of your head. Bing! An awful lot of people will be there. Try not to be, and there they go. Direction reversal. How long does it last, though? How long does the technique last, and how long is it going to be effective for? Will you just get the individual trained into trying to be 3 feet not back of his head? This will key out, and he will try not to be 3 feet back of his head, and what do you know? He's in his head. You said, try not to be, I'm in my head. You only have to tell a person to try not to be 3 feet back of your head about 24 times at the outside. And the command, try not to be 3 feet back of your head, will find him simply trying not to be 3 feet back of his head. These machines blow quickly if they're addressed. These direction reversals. The whole subject blows quickly if immediately addressed. That's a demonstration of it if you wanted to make yourself a test of this. Take somebody who, having a little difficulty, not very much, step two or three, SOP 8, step two or three, and you'd ask him to be, try not to be 3 feet back of your head. Well, just tell him that several times, exteriorizing him each time, and you'll find all of a sudden that your command, try not to be 3 feet back of your head, resulted in his ability to obey that command. He would immediately try not to be 3 feet back of your head. What you did, blow the reversal machinery. He set up machinery to reverse things in the first place, and then it got reversed again. It was really what happened to most people. So they don't quite know where they are. This is a basic confusion with people. They don't know quite where they are because they don't know which direction anything is. If you want to get somebody lost in a hailstorm that's blowing in all directions, such as they have in Kansas, hail comes up from the ground there, by the way. Hell isn't heaven. You want to get them in the middle of one of these things where the hail blows in all directions and so on, and just say to them, which way is the storm coming from? Well, it isn't coming from any particular direction. It is probably moving in some direction or another. They wouldn't be able to trace where the direction was if they were just simply perceiving it. And they would then become quite confused. In remedying this, then, we address machinery. Person has set up machinery in order to reverse things so that he can look at them properly. So it's his own machinery that we're working with. What he's actually got to do is knock it out and set it up again, because that machinery which he set up became automatic, and having become very automatic with no attention being paid to it, it turned out to be some randomity for him. It's unpredicted. Anything which is automatic can then become unpredicted. And so becoming unpredicted becomes randomity. So you start to audit this fellow, and what's he got for his randomity? The basic order machine, direction reversal. See that? Well, what machine are you talking about? You're talking about the first one he set up. See, no directions could reverse actually on him at any time unless he decided to reverse directions on himself. Well, he did reverse directions on himself so he could see directions straight. So he could duplicate communication. For instance, a mountain, you might say, he looks at a mountain. Therefore, a duplicate of the mountain has to come back to him. Well, that's quite easy. Because it's a nothingness facing a mass like that, that would be fairly easy to duplicate. But let's say he's facing a man. He looks at the man comes back to him, but he's a man looking at a man. Why, when it comes back to him, it does not match or fit over the form that is doing the looking. It matches over it backwards. So he says, to hell with this. There's something annoying about bodies. Don't know what it is. It's probably their moral caliber. It's just that they're always fitting over him backwards. So people are perverse. They never do what you tell them to do and so forth. Just on the basis that he couldn't match the bodies face to face, they just don't fit over each other. On that basis alone, he would, one, get mad at people, and two, set up machinery to reverse the image. So when it's coming in, why, he's looking at it straight way, too, as far as he's concerned. It's very hard, you see. You're talking to a person all the time. You're not paying any attention to your own body. You're looking at the person you're talking to. Therefore, this is a kind of a silly-looking thing. You are kind of used to talking to a mass just in giving your body orders. You give your body orders? Of course, you're talking straight to a mass. Well, now, when you think you're a body and don't realize that you've graduated downscale, you think you're a body, therefore every body you're talking to is kind of your body, backwards. People wind up sometimes 3 feet in front of their faces. They think the way to give orders to a body is to be out in front of it. Elementary. Naturally, this should follow. Take somebody who's been in the army for a long time, not only naturally what's this follows, that follows. So, in talking to other people, forgetting one's own body, one says, do this or do that, he can become very used to talking to other people. You know, not paying attention to his own body or what's duplicating or not duplicating or anything about it. He just keeps talking to other people. He has difficulty making them do what he wants. He says, go, this is incident to anything. He's an exterior voice to them. He says, all right, go up and check in your belongings, and why don't you go down to the restaurant and have something to eat and come back here again. Go over the invoices, Sally, and do an audit on this sort of thing. I mean, he goes on. And they don't go to the restaurant, or Sally doesn't find the books or the invoice or something of the sort. An executive is in the perilous position of never intimately handling the bodies he's directing. He's depending upon words and an economic system in order to force his orders. As a thetan operating on his own body, he would simply depend on being able to shoot a beam of energy at it when it didn't. He could make it hurt like hell if it didn't obey him. I mean, he has a grip on the body itself. He's holding it one way or the other. And this is talking about an executive, not exteriorized or anything. He's holding on to the body. He has no difficulty running this body. But all of a sudden, he starts to get difficulty with those bodies out in front of him. They don't work right. You know, he tells them to go to the right, and they go to the left. And they just don't work right. Anyway, and it breaks down. And eventually, he starts having trouble with his own body, is what happens. He starts having trouble with the agility of his own body. And unless he were to take his body out on a playing field, an athletic field, take it out with some golf clubs at least, if it's gotten so old and decrepit that all it can do is play billiards with a little white pill like that on the green, why, at least do that, he would get into active motion of control and handling and so on, and he would feel a lot better. There's, by the way, where exercise fits in. Exercise permits you to straighten out and handle a body fairly evenly and easily, and gives you a renewed confidence in the fact that it will obey your orders. I don't know how much the sweat does, but they claim that if a fellow sweats 3 or 4 quarts while doing something or other, this is very healthy. I really don't know anything about that. I've never had any intimate analysis made of somebody's sweat. And I've never found any engrams in it, although I've never had any analysis made of it. He's again in control of his own body, but after a while, thinking he's a body, if he keeps on facing people and giving them orders and they fail, the first thing you know, he thinks he fails in handling himself. This is the first thing he thinks. I'm failing in handling myself. Well, he means I'm failing in handling myself physically. He's finding out he's getting squirreled up handling himself physically merely because the people he orders around are so squirreled up. They go the opposite direction, you see, all the time. Now he starts handling his own body the way he handles other people. He reverses its directions entirely. The next thing you know, he thinks there's something wrong with his thinking. This is an impossibility. How can you get a thought in reverse? You can't. That's all there is to it. You can't get a thought in reverse. You can get a word in reverse, but a word isn't a thought. So what's our problem here? This individual has the physical universe reversed, so he thinks his thoughts are reversed, and therefore he wants them, quote, straightened out, unquote, which is what he always says. You've got to get them straightened out. Well, you get the left-hand thoughts over on the right-hand side, and the right-hand thoughts over on the left-hand side. This is very helpful. You shift control centers on somebody, and boy, he's liable to hold on to that as a tremendous experience. He actually felt things shift from the right to the left. Gee, this must have straightened him out, because he knows basically that his trouble with the body is a direction reversal trouble. Shifting control centers, you know, more people would be pleased with this. Come back a week or so later, a little upset, but it's quite an operation. It straightens things out. Well, you see that you're not thinking any thoughts over on the right side of your head or on the left side of your head, either one particularly, I mean not selectively. Your thoughts are not reversed, and so they can't be balled up at all. But an individual believes they can be, and so he has a good time getting all snarled up. Therefore, you'd certainly better take care of direction reversals and auditing. You wouldn't have to pay a great deal of attention to it, really. You should know about it. You wouldn't have to pay a great deal of attention to it with a preclear who was doing pretty well. But with a preclear who persistently bogs, you just better get in and slug right straight at that. It's unfortunate, too, because he's in no shape to have anything slugged that hard. You get nervous, you get upset. But boy, he's fighting a direction reversal impulse, which makes him put tremendous wrath, force, and resistance into everything he tries to do. And if he's honestly, as a Thetan, trying to follow your orders as an auditor, he has to fight a machine which he believes to be much bigger than himself every time he follows one of your directions. You say, be 3 feet back of your head. He might have a feeling of moving forward in his head, if he had any feeling at all. But he will tell you, well, no, I didn't. It isn't that he can't be 3 feet back of his head. The impulse to be 3 feet back of his head moved him into his head. Why did it do this? It's because you said so. If he said so, it'd be the same thing, because he's a stranger in town, too. So, we have beingness processing. And if you will notice, have you gone over these various things which you found you could be? You see, there's no right or leftness about this sort of thing. Your auditor simply says something you can be. Well, it isn't a direction or something like that, and the fellow fish around, he eventually finds something he can be. Well, you graduate him up, and we get into machines. And when I say machines, I mean machines. I mean, they practically whir and clank. Machinery is machinery, and that's all there are to it. Machinery is machinery. Mental machinery has wheels. Sounds quite daffy. Has wheels and tubes. The thing's got him marked up that way. You see, he's just duplicating machines he's seen around the messed universe, so if he has something that's supposed to tell him to brush his teeth, he'll mark it up as a machine. I hate to think of what our younger generation has marked up to run their mental machinery. It's probably more workable because the machinery they're duplicating works better. I suppose the reason why we had World War II is because the gas engines wouldn't run in 1898. That's why we had the World War I, 1914, because the gas engines wouldn't run in 1898. World War II was, of course, fought solely on the basis that during the Depression, we had a lot of poor machinery. That was what brought on the crash, probably. No machines would work. Did you ever try to use any of the machinery built during that period? It wasn't good yet. 1927, 1926, 1928. Nothing quite worked. We had a daffy generation. Might be some connection between these things. Who cares? Now, being machinery. Now, he might be able to be messed universe machinery. There's certain types of machines he could be, certain types of engines, certain types of this, that. You could graduate him up fairly rapidly into being machines that reverse things for him. Reversed images for him. Did this and did that. he would find some of these that he could be if you fished around. Well, failing to do that, your next best bet in trying to get a direction straightened out on a case so that it won't fight every order which you issue, see, it's a process that won't do the case any good if the process is being countered by some kind of a machine that says do the opposite. In other words, if the pre-clear can't follow your directions, if his effort to follow the directions is thwarted at every turn by his own automatic machinery, why, he, of course, isn't going to get very far unless your directions immediately go to the root of the problem, which is automatic machinery whose direction reversals him. So the thing to do is to find out what gives him a direction reversal. Well, it's this machinery. He set it up at one time or another, and it's made to reverse images, and it reverses orders and gets to a point where it reverses words and reverses meanings and everything else. He'll begin to believe that the future is the past and all kinds of things as a result of such machinery. So our problem in auditing could go from being machines and taking awfully good care that you got him to be the machine, that he was certain of it and all this sort of thing. From being machines, if that failed, which it shouldn't, your next step on the thing would be to set him an example while standing in front of him. Here's an idea. You say, now raise your right hand. And raise your right hand again. Now raise your left hand. Just straighten him out on mimicking you. Deadly process. But use reversed direction statements. Make him throw the action and the statement apart, in other words. You could say, all right, what you want to do is to move your right foot while you moved your left foot. Now move your left foot while you moved your right foot. Now you can tell him in reverse. Move your right foot, you move your right foot, and he has to move his left foot. Well, if he can master that, he can then follow your orders. Try it out. All right. Now, let's see you do this. Let's see you do this. Now, I want you... think of this carefully now. I want you to move now. I want you to move now your left hand. Now, you, of course, have the order as being much more significant than the actual direction, don't you? All right, now let's try this again. Now follow the action, and to hell with the words. Move your left hand. All right, let's just get a mirror image duplication of what I'm doing now, and to hell with the words. All right, now move your left hand. Silly drill, isn't it? Well, you get this straightened out between you and your pre-clear, and you're liable to find out all of a sudden you can execute some of your orders. Well, that sounds silly. You take the pressure off the words and actions. You give him a physical motion to follow. It doesn't matter which way you do it, as long as you and the pre-clear are doing something to coordinate directions. You get that point. Coordinate word directions and motion directions. You just get something to coordinate them, and you're all happy. He comes to an understanding of something. It feels good after a while if he can do this with positiveness. Now, another way to do it is to point south and say, all right, north is south, and have him point north for south. Call south, north, north, south, east, west, west, east, and have him point this out and get this very fixedly. These directions are inversed. Do anything you want to in this particular department, and you'll find that the machinery will all of a sudden start staring you in the eye, unless you simply set out to confuse him terribly. If you just set out with a motive confusing him, it's all right. You'll wind up with a confused pre-clear. What you're trying to do is play with a machine which reverses everything. All right, you could say, all right, now get the thought that you must touch the top of your head. Got that? Now touch your feet. I get the thought you must touch your feet and touch the top of your head. I get the thought you must touch your right shoulder and touch your left shoulder. I get the thought you must touch your left shoulder and touch your right shoulder. All of a sudden, this horrible riddle of direction reversals will fall apart. But the best thing to do is, of course, the first process I gave you, to be machines with some kind of certainty, having being machines. What kind of a machine can you be? One way or the other. And now, having be this machine, you actually could have him be a direction reversal machine and perform its functions. Now, how would you do that? You'd tell him this way. You'd say, all right, now, be a machine which changes all the orders around. Now, I'm going to give you the order to stand up, and you tell the body to sit down. You have the body receive the order, and then you modify it. Well, the pattern of this would be all right. Now, when I tell the body, stand up, you let the body receive that order, but you tell the body to sit down and enforce it. All right, now I'll tell the body to move its head, and you make sure that the body holds its head still. Now, I will tell the body, and you as an auditor, you say, I'll tell the body, lift your chin. And you correct the order and make the body drop its chin. See that? In other words, having performed the function of the machine. Now, I'm going to tell you to get clear, and you reverse the order. Any bells ring? Okay. There's where the rub is. The poor guy, actually the Thetan is saying, I want to get out of this and square this around. I know there's something here. There's truth to what's going on. But by golly, the very thought, every time the auditor says get clear or something that I know is supposed to make me clear, I just get worse. Natural consequence. What is meant for the better goes worse. The harder they try to be good, the badder they are. The harder they try to be bad, the gooder they are. Did you ever see a couple of fellas who are in kind of rough shape out trying to be bad? Well, they wind up listening to the Salvation Army band down in the corner. But don't start a couple of guys out trying to be good. Now, you be good all evening, wife, he says, when you go out now to that poker party, and you be good, and you don't look around, don't wander around, and don't drink too much, and don't lose too much money. What do you think happens? Guy comes home dead drunk and dead broke, practically dead. And he odds this, she's hexed me. She gave me bad luck, that's what she did, now that's her fault. They're looking for what's doing the direction reversing, and it's actually a basic machine which they themselves have. They've got this one nestled to their bosom. If you were to tell the fellow, try to use this reverse now, let's reverse it the other way. Let's say to the fellow, now be sure and be horrible and be awfully bad and lose all of your money and get as drunk as you please and roll in the gutter and come home late and be sick tomorrow morning. He will. Why does he do that? Well, the weight of making, you see, the weight of this communication system of A, B, C, D, the weight of it is to make the body into nothing. The greater insistence is by the Thetan, who is the source of impulse, and the Thetan, of course, to make the body duplicate him obsessively, has got to make the body into nothing. So if you divided orders up into percentages, and these would not be the proper percentages, but just to give you an idea, we would say if we issued 50 orders to improve the body and 50 orders to deteriorate the body, we would probably find that 45 of the orders to deteriorate the body had been effective and 2 of the orders to improve the body had been effective. The impulse, then, to make the body into nothing is translated as degenerated. And that's how degenerate you can get, nothing. Well, that's how exalted you can get, nothing. That's what you are, nothing. Well, this is a dreadful riddle, isn't it? If you can make being nothing, then, synonymous with being degraded, then an individual will degrade himself or his body. Another method of handling this machinery is simply to duplicate it. Throw up something that you call a direction reversal machine and duplicate it many times. Throw up something you call a direction reversal machine, duplicate it many times. That's just an elementary process. It might trigger the bill and might be something you use right along with anything else you're using. Now we have another one. There's compliance with orders. I am complying with all orders is the name of the mock-up. And you get a body with a nothingness behind it. See, a somethingness and a nothingness. Complying with the orders of the physical universe. Now put that up to show you're complying with orders. Somethingness and nothingness. See? Put up a body with a thetan behind it. You're complying with orders. Put up a body with a thetan behind it now with the thought that you're complying with orders. That's the straight command. Now duplicate that many times, each time with the thought that you're complying with orders. You might get some funny somatics if you do that. Holes will kind of sort of appear in the mock-up. Now, those people who can't get any mock-up of their own body or perception of their own body are just being a little more insistent on the body being nothing. They're just a little more obsessed with a complete duplicate on the communication system. The direction south is a continuous duplication insistence. The more one insists that the communication be exact, be correct, that it be answered properly, this, that, and so forth, further south he goes. A willingness to duplicate anything results in a very even, quiet disposition, or a very roaringly exciting one. The organizations which go toward nothingness succeed better than organizations which go toward somethingness. This is a general rule. You could get anybody, you could get, let's say you've got a little boy, he would find that if there was a gang of kids that went to Sunday school and a gang of hoodlums around, the chances are far better that he joined the gang of hoodlums than the kids who went to Sunday school. All of these two things are not actually incomparable. They're in comparison because both of them are going toward nothing somewhat. One is reaching out for a superior nothingness and the other is down and determined you're going to make a nothingness out of. Which is the most self-determined group? Well, unfortunately, in this society, the gang of hoodlums. You have an imbalance, very bad imbalance, at work. And societies, as they go downhill, pass through these imbalances. There'll be periods when everybody rushes around saying, we've got to make something, make something, make something, make something, make something. And the other periods when everybody is rushing around with equal or even, well, actually much greater ecstasy, saying, we've got to make nothing out of everything. And you recognize this as the hysteria of war. You can organize a whole society under the Four Horsemen. And the Four Horsemen are the best allies in the world to make nothing out of things. And you get a society organized and running fine, running all out and doing beautifully in time of war. And then you get it in time of peace. Everybody says all these worthwhile projects and so forth that we should be engaged on. Everybody sits around and argues about politics or chews around this or goes to the new play so they can criticize how bad it is. We have a ebb and flow there. But because the nothingness is a habitable and a more desirable state for a thetan, actually, it increases his mobility. He doesn't have... The difference between a thetan being nothing and a thetan being something is the difference between somebody who is able to travel all over the place without even a razor or an extra shirt and a fellow who has to take 10 trunks full of clothes. A great deal of mobility. Well, it's a wider mobility than that because a thetan who isn't being a mass obsessively, of course, can appear any place he wants to be in the whole darn universe. So... our problem with our rough case is a problem of direction reversal, primarily, basically, which is a problem of duplication. When I say case, of course, you know, I mean our problem as auditors, the tough case. I'm not saying that we have carried over and embraced all the problems of the whole universe. No, we're embracing those factors which become confused in the universe. And these become very marked in auditing. The pre-clear quite often will sit there and run something entirely different than the auditor says. Well, he has lots of reasons for this. Maybe some of his reasons have reason. Maybe they're very just and so forth, but they are based upon the fact that something in the pre-clear is reversing and escaping the orders, and his main attention, actually, in being audited, is absorbed in trying, even when he's cooperating, his main attention is absorbed in trying to resist and hold nullified some mysterious force around him someplace that makes him go in opposites, or even opposites to opposites, or opposites to opposites to opposites. And he's got this mysterious force. He knows he's fighting something. Well, let's see what he's basically fighting. He's fighting a communication system wherein himself, as a nothingness, transmits through a relay point, which is a somethingness, ordinarily just to other somethingnesses and never back to another nothingness. The ecstasy of the saint and the call of religion are all based upon efforts to move closer to a communication system where nothing is duplicating nothing. God, hear my prayers. If God can hear your prayers, God has to duplicate you. If you mark up yourself as God in the sky, you may even then achieve just as much elation as the person who is pleading with God. That's not sacrilegious. That has to be a fact. So, the release of barriers, bonds, restrictions, inevitably leads to a certain elation, a certain feeling of freedom. You let a fellow out of prison who hasn't been in prison too long, and he will feel quite elated. If you've kept him in prison too long, however, without any processing or other addresses to his problems, he's liable to come out of prison and be very sad with all this freedom. Remember, you also get this effect with the pre-clear. You move him out of his body, you've given him freedom, he moves out with the shape of a body, he feels very sad because he has lost that much mass, and he's just been in jail too long, that's all. So having been in jail for a long time, the fellow is quite unhappy about being exteriorized, and he's liable to tell you, well, that's all right, that stuff's good enough for you, good enough for somebody else, but not good enough for me. What I really want to do is to stay inside that body and carry on, and I'm not interested in these other things. They don't seem possible or believable to me. You'd get the same reaction from any prisoner that you had in jail too long. You recognize this. If you take a steel spring and compress it tightly enough, long enough, it will no longer spring back to its original shape. Finest steel in the world, if you compress it tightly enough, long enough, it would not any longer return to its original shape as a spring. It's one of the big contests of the metal companies to try to get springs which always will return to shape. Well, Thetan doesn't have any shape, so you give him freedom. He thinks he ought to have a shape, and this upsets him. Remedy of having this, of course, drives right in down the line. This only goes so far as a process, and then it runs into a dead stop. Why does it run into a stop? Well, the Thetan, of course, is a somethingness, according to the havingness. What you're really doing is running out all of his failures. Those things which he's failed to make into nothing can generally be depended to fly in at him. I ran into a PC one time, a long time ago. We were running for the highest moment of joy and elation and everything on the whole track. We were looking for it. We found it. He blew up a galaxy. He said, there's tremendous grief on this. I said to myself, you know, well, I can imagine so, all those overreacts simultaneously. And he started to weep a little bit. And I asked him what he was weeping about. He said, well, I'll never get a chance to do it again. That was where his grief lay. Boy, he sure made nothing out of a lot of stuff with a vengeance, didn't he? Well, in order to make nothing out of space, you've got to take out its positional significance. If space has to you the significance of a bunch of points in it where something happened, You know, these fixed spaces, unalterable points. Why, you really can't make nothing out of that space. Why? It's got all these significances in it. Becomes more confusing due to the fact that space is moving by with such speed. You say, this is moving fast. Well, why worry about this moving fast? Let's have the space move fast. Well, why don't you look around the room right now, you realize that the various components of speed add up to terrific velocity. You see, the Earth is moving at 1,000 miles an hour. So obviously, the space in this room is moving at 1,000 miles an hour. Well, just from that, if it's static space, I mean, it's just staying there. It's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. Also, in quite another direction, it is moving very rapidly. But if you will simply look, you see the component forces of motion would result finally in one motion of space. It wouldn't make the space complicated. It would just resolve into a certain direction. The space was moving through this room. Get that as a different concept. Let's not get the room moving through space. Make space senior. Let's get the idea of the space moving through this room. See if you can take a look at it and see it moving through the room. It ain't going slow. Yes, I'm pretty close to do this. Didn't get sick on you. I wasn't trying to make you sick. You're about to go to your auditing sessions. But there is this concept of actual motion of space. Of course you can, quote, see space move. Because anything you know, you really can see. So if you know the space is moving, you know, hey, of course you can see it move. Now, what's the principal machine your preclear is fighting? Even if he's being a good preclear, if he's being a bad one, he's still fighting the same machine. What's the principal machine that's just standing in between his path and getting a lot of benefit out of your auditing?
Direction.
A direction, reversal machine. That simply cancels out orders and reverses them. Cancels out the actual order and puts a new order in its place, which is in reverse. Is altered in some way and so forth. That's the primary machine. Fellow who is all in blackness has gotten so damn confused he no longer cares to look. That's about it. They can find him. I asked him to put up a couple of anchor points and locate himself by them. That's the most direction he's ever going to have anyhow. Did you notice that it was very easy in auditing under places you can be? Did you notice it's very, very easy to find places you could be in the past? Even though you felt insecure about places you could be in the present. Some cases will get that with great ease. Remember, that's a higher level. Things which are not giving you orders at this time is often resolved. The fellow can't get anything that really isn't giving him orders now. There's a nothingness of things. You have him mock up or get the idea of a nothingness, for instance, of a desk, a chair, a couch, a picture on the wall, and get whether or not it's giving him orders. And that nothingness is not giving him orders. It's vast relief with which he will do this. Some of the preclears have been asked that question countless times, have yet, if the guy's in good shape, has yet to find something that isn't really giving him orders. But what's the deep significance of all this? We've got the preclear fighting a direction reversal machine, and we've got the auditor trying to get the preclear to follow directions. The preclear, caught in the middle of this conflict between the machine and the auditor, has a rough time of it. The machine is quite portentous. There are many other remedies for this sort of thing, but these remedies I've given you are the basic remedies which we're using this time. Very possibly, as time goes on, we'll have better remedies for this, but the problem is right there in the open. The problem's been there since 1951. First recognized it on the codification of the theta mesh theory. It was there much more certainly, and an answer to it was much better in 1953. You'll find this in the early PABs. It's mentioned considerably. It isn't laid out with this simplicity and at this length, because it would be almost impossible to broadly communicate this. put a piece of paper under somebody's nose and then tell him all about direction reversals. That'd be real cute, wouldn't it? Well, we know some of the answers. So, let's apply them.